Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
Hey, it's Daniel here. Just a quick note before we get into today's episode. Our team at Lifeway Leadership is excited to announce a brand new day and a half coaching event on how to lead change in your church. It's called Blueprint Coaching, and our first stop will be in Orange County, California on March 14 and 15. You can learn more by going to lifeway.leadership.com/events or by texting the word blueprint to the number 888-111. That's 888-111. But don't wait too long, because we're capping this at 300 people to make sure you come with a dream and leave with a 90-day plan for leading change in your church. Now let's get into the interview. You're listening to the newchurches.com
yes,
Q&A podcast.
Are.
New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Yes, you are. So
okay, you know, Ed, right. Because in episode 345, you talked so much about COD and our CODcast.
COD,
I was like trying so hard not to say it at the top of this podcast. So if you missed,
okay, so you know, have you ever seen the?
Have to go.
You may have missed one of our church signs. There was a church sign, but there's a sign at a restaurant that clearly these people go to church, and it says, "Oh no, I've had that online." Here it is. It's at St. Jude's Thaddeus Catholic Church, and their sign says, "Our cod is an awesome cod."
Oh man, was this in Halifax?
No, I don't even know.
Okay. Well, you know, somewhere in the Maritimes there's an intersection where there are three streets, one right next to each other. This street, that street, another street. Like, those are
that.
Actually the names of the streets.
I love Canadians.
So. Oh man. Okay, so today, as a special kind of in between Christmas and New Year's, I wanted to talk about our writing process.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Yeah.
Did you get anything good for Christmas?
Well, when this goes live, I'll be in Vancouver chilling out with my family. Yeah.
And I will be in Orlando. So there you go. So, all right. I'll be not thinking of you in cold Vancouver. Right, writing process. So my writing process is I just wait until I feel the Lord inspiring and moving my hand.
Do you do this in a prayer mountain?
I do. It's on a prayer mountain. I do. No. I'm not sure I'm the best for this, Daniel, because I'm like not, I like, someone asked me yesterday, what's your writing process? Because they said, you write 2 or 3 blogs a week and you wrote a book. And first of all, I have a whole group of people who help me, and that's really, really important. So when I take, we do these podcasts, and if I, there's one a couple of times ago when we talked about house churches, and I took that and I took the audio and I sent it on to some of my people, and I said, hey, would you edit this and frame this into an article for me? And so they put an intro, that's one of the reasons you'll see on my Christianity Today, I say, thanks for my team. So, so I took a recording of something we discussed, and they framed it out. People don't talk like they write, I don't say, for example, just things like I just did. And so that's how I produce a lot of content. Now, as far as the discipline of writing a book, that gets a little harder. And in that case, I have to set aside, particularly I might set aside a whole day sometimes and frame it out. And then what I try to do, once I frame it out, and I don't frame it a whole book in a day, but it might be a section of it. My last book had 3 grand sections. So I could frame that out of the day, and then I just go back to it, this an hour this night, or maybe on a plane at this time, and I just start filling it out. It might be 3 or 4 grand sections in a book. If y'all notice, my books always have sections, and so that's kind of how I write. I don't know. I mean, maybe you got a better. I mean, you wrote 5 silver bullets, and you got the new book.
No silver bullets.
No silver bullets. Okay.
Thank
all right.
You,
so tell me. So tell me how you do it.
Yeah. So I'm halfway through, well, a little bit more than halfway through my next one. I'm working on chapter 6 at the moment. It's going to be 8 chapters in total.
Called The Sixth Silver Bullet?
No, it's not. We are trying to finalize our title. It'll be out February 2020, so not 2019,
okay.
2020.
Who's we? Who's the person writing with you?
B&H Publishing.
Oh, okay. We as in you and B&H. I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So my process basically is it's pretty consistent every week. So after doing all the proposal and making sure, basically in doing the book proposal, you know, here are the chapter outlines, here who I'm writing it to, and you know, you kind of have to think through it all at that level. When I'm about to start a new chapter, what I'll basically do is I'll outline the entire thing. I'll do as much research as I can, seeing what other people have written about it, thinking through ideas. And then after I do that, I just start writing. So for me, Saturday mornings from about 7:30 to noon, I have that blocked out for writing. And then a couple nights a week, I'll also write.
Oh my gosh. You make me so tired just hearing all this. You plan this all out ahead of time.
Yeah.
You write it all out. And this is probably after you're jogging and you've done your devotions for the day and you've read your children for 30 minutes each. I mean, you're that guy, that level.
Well, I wish I was more consistent on my exercise. But
I'm not judging. Yeah, I assure you. But it just, I mean, you just, so that's a level of discipline. I'm not a disciplined writer. Maybe that's a helpful contrast to people, because you can write and not be a disciplined writer. I write in spurts.
Okay.
And so, and I think in terms of like, you know, like articles. So I like a book to me, a book of 100,000 words is basically 100 articles that are woven together. So I start by kind of.
So that's your mindset as you
yeah,
write?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Kind of. And then, but then I got to, I mean, you wouldn't read my book and think it was 100 articles. I mean, but I kind of start and say, I got to hit here, this here, and I flesh them all out. And then probably the last 2 months is just weaving everything together. So it's seamlessly, but every page should have an idea to me. And I think a lot of people, they don't do that. So I think every page should have something you're trying to communicate, not filler or whatever. And I think by doing that, it's a better, you know, sometimes I'll see people tweet, you know, every page has something. And I'm like, that's what I was going for.
Interesting. Okay. And that kind of reflects on your speaking too, because when you speak, you make sure that you kind of speak in tweetables.
Yeah, so that's often. True. Let me add something to that too. So like when I preached at Saddleback in March of this year, I actually took 10 minutes of that sermon and said, oh, I really like how that rolled. And I had it transcribed and edited, and I use it for the intro to one of the chapters. And I'll often do that, because when you preach at a place that keeps your stuff online, you're like, I really like it. So I actually made a note to myself in March to say, hey, make sure I use this. And okay. And again, then there's editing, because again, speech is not the same. I mean, no one's going to look at my books and say, Ed spoke this, but because I mean, it goes through 7 iterations before it gets there. But there's just something that people connected with. So again, I'm always gathering. And I also have researchers who help me gather examples. So for example, in Christians in the Age of Outrage, I have about 50 to 60 examples of people who sort of bridge the outrage divide. And what I did is I tweeted. I said, listen, here's what I'm looking for. And I had to tweet more than once, because most of the examples were between evangelicals and LGBT people, which I think are, then there's several in the book, and I think that's important to include those. But that was like overwhelmingly the case. And so I said, well, what about people who are mad at you about zoning? What about people who are, you know, mad at you, but whatever? And I had to keep tweeting, but those were great examples. And so then, you know, I get the information, I kind of write it out, verify it with them. So, but I think at the end of the day, I just don't know that I'm a good example, partly because I have a raging case of attention deficit disorder. And so I'm always bouncing around looking for things. But I will tell you another thing I do. So I got my computer right here in front of me, and I just pulled up in Evernote. And I've got Evernote files that I'm constantly dropping links in and examples in. So this maybe will sound as particular as you. So I'm looking here, and I got about 30, because I'm working on my next book, and I got 30 categories that I'm dropping things in as I see them, as I walk down a road, as I take a picture, as I see something online. So that's part of my discipline as well. But what you describe is just far more disciplined than what I do, which is probably indicative of your life. You're a much more disciplined guy than I am.
No, it's interesting, Ed, to see different styles and our different personalities, and how at the end of the day, they're still, you know, both of us, you know, there are books. Right.
Yeah,
and we got to the same finish line in a sense on several different projects. You've obviously written a lot more than I have, but even though our writing process is different, we were still able to get there. So
I think that's key. And you know, one of the things I talked to Tom Rainer once, and his process, the way he described it to me, was so meticulous. You know, he's super, you know, organized guy.
Yeah. So what's his process?
Oh, I don't even remember. I just remember saying, wow, that's far more organized than I could ever be.
Okay.
but it kind of left me wasting, but I can still do this. I just do it. And I think that's what he encouraged me. You don't have to do it. Do it, whatever works for you. And so what I would say is, someone wants to learn to write, start by writing some articles, and then think of this. You can write an article, and you can do that in 2 hours or 5 hours or 10, I don't know. Think to yourself, can I do this? You know, typical books say 60,000 words. A typical article is maybe less than 1,000 words. So think to yourself, can I do this 50 more times? And then can I thread it all together with themes and connections and more? And I think that takes away some of the intimidation. I imagine some of our listeners, when they heard you kind of frame out the whole book, that sounded a little scary. But if you could build a chapter. Now, what you don't want to do is you don't want to, build a chapter. You need a commonality. My point is, when I was in high school, they taught us to use note cards. When you're in high school, was that all gone and done now? Did they still have to use note cards for your senior research paper or something like that? Okay.
Yeah.
So note cards were like 3x5 cards, and we'd write out kind of some key things, and then we'd sort of organize them. Okay. So that's the way I kind of see it is, and each of these would be kind of a theme, and then you put them in order. You might move them around. Well, I just do that with a computer now. Been on that computer with that for a long time. And then I just sort of move them around and place them in the right places and ultimately weave them together in a way that I think becomes a compelling book.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll just for a moment pause our discussion, and just wanted to share that today's podcast is brought to you in part by the Living and Effective podcast, brought to you by Christianity Today and
this
the Christian
podcast
Standard
just
Bible.
Won't die. This podcast won't. It is living and effective. So is the living part Christianity Today and the effective part the Christian Standard Bible?
Well, living and effective, right? The Word of God is living and effective. That's the CSB
oh, that's in the Bible?
Translation.
Thanks for letting me know. Thanks for letting me know. That's in the Bible. I really do appreciate that. I wasn't familiar with that. And the CSB, I'm not familiar with that at all. Wait, I used it for the last 15 years. I don't know if it's been 15 years. Used it in Atlanta. Used it in Nashville. Try to use it when I can. Now I'm sort of the number two preacher at a lot of places, so you do what they tell you with the preaching version. But I'm actually a CSB preferer, a person who prefers the CSB.
That's good. That's good. And if you check out that podcast, wherever you listen to your podcasts, you'll hear host Richard Clark look at the hidden history of the Bible, wrestle with tough questions, and explore what the future holds for your church. So be sure to check that out. All right. So, Ed, when it comes to each chapter, I would say the hardest part, I'd love to know, what you think about what you think is the hardest part of the process. For me, the hardest part of the process is that compelling idea and fleshing it out, from a 30,000 foot view, what that's going to look like in every chapter, and just really proposing, hey, what benefit is this going to be to the broader world? Right. What benefit is this going to be to everyone else? Because the last thing that I want to do is just recycle someone else's idea or write something that I might find interesting, but I don't ultimately think is going to be beneficial to others. So
That's not my deal at all. My deal at all is the conclusion. I can always get a good opening. Can always build a good case. It's how do I conclude? Because I
conclude each chapter or the whole
conclude each chapter. No, conclude each chapter. My Lori Nichols, who's in the office right next to where we're recording this, is she's my editor here, and not in the book so much, but on my articles, and so they're similar. She says that I circle the drain forever, and I'm like almost there. I don't know if you saw. I was on. I don't even remember where I was going. I was flying to Dallas, and I got diverted to Oklahoma City. But while we were flying, the plane, if you go on, what's that called? FlightAware, you can actually track your own flight track. And so it was this plane circling and circling. It went around four times. So I took a screenshot and said, this is my sermon, because I never land the plane. I'm just spiraling down. And same thing in my writing. So that's the hard thing for me. It's not so much getting the meat. Getting introduction, catch people's attention, getting the meat of it there. It's landing the conclusion because I still have too many ideas.
Okay. So how do you then break out of that then? And how do you eventually?
Well, here's the deal. Good editing. Now in a sermon, I don't have someone who does that. But good editor. So for me, I try to think to myself, what is my editor going to say? I need one point at the conclusion. I've made my points in the chapter. I need one point at the conclusion. Something that's pithy and memorable. So that. But then I also would also kind of rely on my editor. So, I mean, if you're writing a book, your editor is going to look at that and say, you know, so-and-so. And you'll, and you find, and B&H is great. I, you know, work at B&H. My most recent book is with Tyndale. Both good places where they say, hey, fix this, fix that.
Yeah.
And, but here's the problem. And I tell people, matter of fact, I wrote an article recently for Vox, and I sent them in the article and said, listen, I need you to understand, I don't love my words. I love my ideas. I don't love my words. And she emailed back and said, we don't hear that a lot. We have to fight over every edit. I said, no. Edit and then send it to me, and then I'll sign off on 95% of them. It's just if an idea is lost.
Yeah.
And that's okay. What, you know, everyone needs a good editor.
Yeah. No, completely. For me, because getting to that middle of the book is such a slog, it's so, you're not as excited about it anymore. I feel like I need to have I need to be passionate enough about the idea. And if I'm just writing something that someone else has written, just in a little bit of a different way, that doesn't excite me. So that's why for me, I spend a lot of time outlining, framing, making sure that this is
See, that's good. You're making it stronger that way. But here's what I would say that for me that I because a lot of books bog down in the middle. Mm. Because what they're trying to, it should have been a 30,000 word book, and their publisher said it needed to be a 60,000 word book.
Yeah.
If you start with my idea, which is to say every chapter in a sense is a series of articles that are woven together with a fresh idea and important implications, then you don't get bogged down in the middle. Now, I was reading a review of Christians in the Age of Outrage, and it says, and in the second section, I have three sections, Stetzer really gets his stride. I'm like, that's what I was going for. Now, I was hoping I was doing my stride in the first section, but the point is that each kind of stands alone, and I think otherwise, and really, it's not a bad thing to say, this is a 30,000, you know, I interviewed Tom Rainer for my radio program the other day, and, you know, they've sold 1.5 million copies of his book, I Am a Church Member. And that's like eight words in that whole book. It's like, love Jesus, go to church. No, it's like, I don't even know, but it's, I'm guessing it's a 20 to 30,000 word book. Really good. We used it in our membership class at my last church. So, but again, he had an idea. He hit that idea. I think it wouldn't have worked as well if he would have tried to, you know, make it a 100,000 word book. But it kind of hit right where it needed to be. Don't be afraid to write that book. Matter of fact, you'd be thrilled if you read that book 1.5 million copies later.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's awesome. Well, hopefully that was helpful for you. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us on social media. And we hope you have a great New Year's. Happy New Year's. Belated Merry Christmas. And
ho,
if you're looking
ho,
for...
Do you celebrate Christmas in Canada?
Yes, we do.
Okay, I just want
Thanksgiving to know. Thanksgiving is the holiday that's in a different month, but Christmas is the same.
Yes. Well, there you go. So it's good to know. And what about Easter? Do you celebrate Easter up there?
Easter's the same too for us.
Okay, I'm just checking. You know, Easter's not the same for everybody.
No, it isn't. You're right. It isn't.
My parents are Antiochian Orthodox.
Yeah, there
and
you go.
They happy Pascha, they tell me, or something, and I'm like, yeah, happy Easter. And I just drive them crazy by telling them happy Easter every time. But Christmas is not the same in every tradition as well. There are, because some people celebrate Christmas in January. Bet you didn't know that. Full of useless information. That's my job. Just call me Cliff Clavin. And on that note, you even know who Cliff Clavin is?
Is he from Cheers? I don't know.
He is. You remember? He's from Cheers. He was the postal guy from Cheers.
Oh,
he was the trivia nerd.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, happy to serve you.
And if you are driving anywhere or need another podcast to listen to, we do want to encourage you to reach out and look up the EST podcast. So Micah Freeze,
who used to work for me.
Yes. Yeah.
Him, all of you Sam have been Rainer. Traumatized with that.
Josh King, that podcast is all about established church. So if you're listening to our podcast, you are probably not in an established church.
If you've listened to our podcast, you have made a mistake because this is all about church planning. But if you have a friend, you could share it with a friend.
Yeah, but believe it or not, Ed, fascinating point. There are a lot of established church pastors who do actually listen to this and go on our website. So there you go.
I hear that from people all over the place. Yeah. Anyway, hey, thanks for listening. Have everyone a good holidays.